You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray continues our series and talks about how we can better cultivate patience through our faith in Christ. Here's Pastor Ray.
Wow, wasn't that a powerful time of worship, a beautiful time in the Lord's presence? Man, my heart just soared as I joined in with our worship team and I sang those songs to the Lord. So now it is time for us to look into the powerful and beautiful Word of God. So we're going to do that in just a moment. Before we do that, though, let me reference back to this series that we're in and what we talked about last week. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit these days. And last week, we talked about the fruit of peace. And we learned that there really are a couple of keys to living within the peace of God. And one of those keys is just being in the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, "Great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing will cause them to stumble." I think at a ratio of 10 to 1, we ought to spend more time in the Word than we do on social media and in the news these days. This is such a time of upheaval and upset that so many people are anxious and worried over what's going on. And God wants us to live in His peace. And so we need to be in the Word. And so I encourage you to lean as never before into the Word of God. Well, speaking of the Word, there is no organization that does this better than the Gideons. Getting the Word of God out, getting the physical Word of God out and into the hands of people all around the world. And so I want to thank you for giving in the offering to them. And if you didn't, I would encourage you to do so. There is no group that I know of that stretches the dollar better than better than anyone else of getting the Word of God into hotels, into businesses, and into schools, the hands of students. And again, they do it internationally. So I love the Gideons, and they're a strategic partner for Portland Christian Center, and I hope that you will be generous toward them. So the other key to staying in the peace of God is prayer. When every other dependency, our secondary dependencies are removed from us, and we can't do the things that we normally would do to stay in our areas of stability and comfort, we still can pray. This is a season where we can't do so many things, but one thing that we can do is we can pray. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says that we are not to be anxious about anything. We're not to worry over anything, but rather we're to take those things that would cause that anxiety and we're to lift it to God in prayer. And not just any kind of prayer, but prayer that is laced with thanksgiving. And when we do that, the promise of God is that the peace of God that passes all understanding, in other words, you can't explain why it's there, where it comes from, except that it's from God, the peace of God will stand watch over our hearts and our minds. You know, speaking of prayer, we have a couple of new opportunities for us to engage in prayer. And one of those is our prayer walks on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., like we did this morning. And I would encourage you, if you've not been able to be a part of that, that you would come out on a Sunday morning and just wander this campus with a lot of other folks. We're masked up, we're keeping our distance, but we're just lifting our prayers to the Lord. It's a powerful opportunity. The other thing that we launched this past Wednesday at 7 o'clock is our Portland Christian Center live stream prayer event. And we're gonna do it for the following Wednesdays as well. And I encourage you to tune into that on our website. And together we're collecting as the body of Christ, even though we're distanced, and we're listening to the Word of God, and we're lifting up our prayer needs specifically to Him. And so I think we had a powerful time this past Wednesday. And I want to invite you to join in on it this Wednesday and in the Wednesdays that follow. And then next Sunday, we have a very special guest that will be bringing the sermon. It's my friend, Dr. David Thomas. Dr. Thomas was in the world of academics, and then he has left that to go onto the mission field. He was a missionary originally, and now he's going back to Ecuador, and he's going to present his ministry. But also, Dr. Thomas is an expert or an authority in the area of prophecy. There's a lot of interest in prophecy these days. This prophetic dream that's going around that's had hundreds of thousands of hits on the internet has really caused a stir, predicting that there's going to become upheaval and chaos in America in the next few weeks, and people are asking about that. And so I've asked Dr. Thomas to come and just do a Sunday on prophecy. And so I would encourage you to mark that on your calendar. Open your heart, clear your mind, and we're going to go deep, a deep dive into the prophetic. And I also would encourage you to reach out to friends and invite them to listen in. And I'll tell you why. Even if they're not Christians, people are thinking more these days because of what's going on, the upheaval, the riots, the hostility, the pandemic. People are more concerned about what is happening to the world and if this is indeed the end of time. And so they are more ready to tune in than ever before. So invite somebody to listen in with you. And that's next Sunday. Well, we're going to talk about patience today, patience. And since patience is listed as a fruit of the Spirit, then obviously God is very concerned with our mastery of this fruit of patience. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience." Say that with me, patience. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, out of this ninefold fruit, which is the essence of God's character, by the way, aren't you especially thankful that our God is a patient God? I sure am. But for me, patience is the one virtue that is in shortest supply in my life. I am not a very patient person. I mean, I put my bagel in the microwave to nuke it for 22 seconds. And then I think, why is this taking so long? And I stop it with 1 second left. I mean, who in the world does that? Not a very patient person. You know, if the car in front of me doesn't hit the gas when the light turns green, I'm ready to lay on the horn until his ears bleed. And by the way, that's called a honkosecond. A honkosecond. It's the shortest measurement of time in the universe today. People are so ready to lay on the horn because they're impatient. Well, by nature, most of us, probably most of us watching this telecast today, are in short supply of patience. It's like the person who said, "Well, I had my patience tested this week, and it turns out I'm negative." Well, I am too. You see, this is the most difficult fruit to cultivate in our lives. It's more difficult, arguably, than love and joy and peace and the other fruits that are listed out there. I mean, it is very, very difficult to cultivate. We're easily irritated with people. We get frustrated with ourselves. We fret over circumstances, and we even get impatient with God. We get impatient with God. There's a famed preacher by the name of Philip Brooks who was known for his poise, but at times he suffered microbursts of irritability. Well, there was one day when he was pacing the floor like a caged lion, and someone asked him, "What's the trouble, Brooks?" And he said, "Well, the trouble is I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." Often, or ever, if ever, God is in a hurry. So anyone besides me impatient with God? Have you ever been impatient with God? Ever frustrated with his timing, with his silence, with his slowness? You know, when I was a kid, there was an old timer in our church who was fond of saying, "Oh, God sure is slow. He is oh so slow, but he's never late. He's never late." You see, God's plans for you, his purpose for your loved one, his timing in your circumstances, his design for the world are in his control. They're in his sovereign control and not yours. And if for no other reason, that's why we need to cultivate the fruit of patience, because it's a matter of trust. Trust is the one thing that God can't create. We have to give it to him. And when we do, especially through our patience, it's a beautiful and a powerful gift that we give to God. So we need to get serious about cultivating this fruit of patience. So to get a better grasp on cultivating patience, let's talk about the what, the why, and the how. The what, the why, and the how of patience. So the what will define what patience is and what it isn't. I think it's important to start there. The why will provide the motivation for the hard work it's going to take you and me to develop patience. And the how will give us a strategy for cultivating it, a strategy. So first of all, let's talk about the what of patience. What is patience? Well, biblical patience isn't resignation. It's not resignation to every bad thing or awful person that comes down the pike and into your life. It's not unconditional tolerance of wrong or injustice. It's not closing your eyes to the sin of other people. And it's not passivity when things need to change, just to sit back and do nothing when things need to change. There's a very instructive verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, that says, "Let us run with patience." Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Now, aren't those mutually exclusive, to run and to be patient? How does that work? Well, George Matheson, a powerful Scottish preacher, wrote this, and I want you to hear it. He said, "We commonly associate patience with lying down, and yet there's a patience that I believe to be harder. the patience that can run, to lie down in a time of grief, to be quiet under the stroke of adverse fortune, implies a great strength. But I know of something that implies a strength that is greater still. It is the power to work under stress, to have a great weight at your heart and still run, to have a deep anguish in your spirit and still perform the daily task. That is the Christ-like thing. We are called to exercise our patience, not just in the sick bed, but also in the street. So, patience is not passive, it's not inactive, it's not silent, nor is it weak. So here's what it is. Biblical patience is active trust and aggressive obedience under adverse conditions. It is active trust and aggressive obedience. Now, in the Greek, and the reason I often mention the Greek is because the Greek language was the lingua franca of the Roman world in the first century. It was the language of Palestine where business transaction took place. And so the New Testament was written in what's called Koine Greek, a very precise language. In fact, God was just brilliant in having his word written in the Greek language because it's so accurate, so precise, it can be translated into any other language. The Bible can be translated into any other language on planet Earth because of the precision of the Greek. So in the Greek, the word patience is a compound word, macrothumia. Macro means long, and thumia, as in our word, or thumos, as in our word thermos, means temper. So it means to have a long temper when you're prone to having a short fuse. It means staying cool when you're hot under the collar. It means keeping control when you would like to reach out and throttle someone. So it's sometimes in different translations, more modern translations, it's translated endurance. In older translations, it's often translated as long-suffering. And I like that word because I think it really describes what patience is. It is to be long-suffering with circumstances or people, to suffer long. William Barclay, who was one of my favorite commentators, Bible commentators, said it's an attitude which never loses patience with people, however unreasonable they may be, and which never loses hope for them, however unlovely and unteachable they may be. It expresses the attitude to events which never admits defeat, which never loses its hope, which never loses its faith, however dark the situation may be, and however incomprehensible events may be, and however sore the chastening of God may be. Wow. Do you think patience is called for, especially in our day, with circumstances and events in the world the way it is? Is there a time like the present to look past bothersome people and troubling circumstances into God's presence? Is this not a time... Friends, is this not a time that we need to replace worry with worship? To replace worry with our worship while we wait upon God to act and to pray, God, help me with this. Help me to be steady. Help me to stay steady and stable as you work out your sovereign plan in this situation. There is never a time like the present that we need to practice patience. You see, your patience is a matter of trust and obedience. And again, trust is the most precious gift that you give to God. And your obedience is something that's even more valued to God than your sacrifice. This is a time to trust. It is a matter, to be patient. It is a matter of trust and obedience. So that's the what of patience. Now the why. Let's talk about the why of patience. Why is patience so important that it's listed in these top 9 virtues? Well, I want to give you 3 reasons. Why, number one, we need to cultivate patience because God is patient. If for no other reason, God is patient. And he asks us to be patient as well. Scripture is very clear that is at the core of God's character. Most famously, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow about keeping his promises as some people think he is. In fact, God is patient." Why? Because he wants everyone to turn from sin and no one to be lost. And this patient God asks us to be patient with others. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 says, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, to clothe ourselves with patience. We are to clothe ourselves with patience. This past week, I was at a Fred Meyer store, not far from the church. I needed to pick up a couple of items, and I was checking out. When I noticed out of my periphery, down a couple of the self-checkout machines away, there was a young woman, and she was very nicely dressed, very pretty lady. But I noticed that at the hem of her skirt, on the hem of her skirt, there was something that was embroidered, and it was a sentence. And I thought, well, that's really strange. I'd never seen that before. Something embroidered, a sentence embroidered on the hem of a skirt. And so I took a closer look at it, and I noticed that it said, F the police. Now, that F didn't stand for find the police. It was the other thing, the bad word that we can't say. She was advertising F the police. And I suddenly just recoiled. I was just roiled on the inside. I was angry. I was upset. And I really wanted to go over and get up in her grill. I wanted to challenge her. Really what I wanted to do was to take her groceries and just throw them off the checkout counter and say, I bet you want to call the police right now. But in that moment of anger and impatience, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, Ray, I don't want that woman to be lost. And that's why I'm patient with her. And then he said, you know those people that you're upset with that are destroying your city? You can't stand what they're doing. You're frustrated with that. He said, I don't want a single one of them to be lost. And that's why I'm patient with them. And I want you to be patient as well. We are to clothe ourselves with patience as people created in an infinitely patient God's image. We have his DNA. And recreated to be conformed to an infinitely patient Christ image. We are called to put on patience. Listen, this isn't optional. It's obedience. It's obedience. So, why is cultivating patience important? Because God is patient. God is patient. Thank God he's patient. And he's called us to be patient. Why number two is that we need to cultivate patience because we've been the recipients of God's patience. We've been given God's patience, and that's why we need to give it back out. Paul reminds us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, that we are to bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances we may have against one another. And we are to forgive, how? As the Lord forgave us. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, how did God forgive you? Well, he did it quickly. He didn't wait. He didn't hold back. He didn't wait for you to earn it. He did it quickly. He did it completely. He didn't just forgive some things. He forgave all of your sins, and he did it freely. You didn't have to earn it. You didn't have to do something to receive it except to ask for it and to receive it. So God has forgiven us completely, quickly, and freely. So therefore, how can we do any less for others? We've been called to do for them what they have what God has done for us. Jesus talked a lot about that. He told many parables that talked about since we've been forgiven, we need to be forgiving to others. I was thinking back to years ago, probably 10, 12 years ago now. One of our daughters came home with a failing report card, a progress report for a class in high school. And the failing progress report was because of incomplete work. Well, she and Linda were well on their way to resolving the issue when I came in on the conversation and I actually butted in. And patient I wasn't. I blew my cork. And she tearfully pleaded that the assignments were in fact done and the teacher had just overlooked them. And I was like, yeah, right, the dog ate my homework. And so I grounded her. I'm very mad. I grounded her basically for life. Well, the next day she talked to the teacher who found the work in a pile and immediately changed her grade to an A. So she went from failing to an A. And when I found out about that, boy, did I feel bad. I really felt bad. And the Holy Spirit didn't make me feel any better. And he whispered to me and he said, aren't you glad God doesn't treat you as you've treated your daughter? Ugh. And to make matters worse, as the recipient of my impatience, our child had been so gracious and patient with the injustice that I had done to her. It's like, Patience reminds me to live in and then to give out the same grace that God has extended to me. That's why. And then why number three? We need to cultivate patience because it unleashes God's plan in our lives. Say that in a negative way, when we are impatient, we impede what God wants to do in our lives. We block his ability to unleash his plan, his good plan for us when we're impatient. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, we're to count it all joy when we fall into various trials, when we come into the things that would challenge, would try our patience, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, so you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing, so that God's full work can be realized in your life. So let me ask you this. What are you lacking right now? What are you lacking? I bet you know what it is. I bet you have a sense of this is what I'm lacking, especially as we're in this quarantine time, this pandemic season, and a lot of things have been stripped away, and we're really forced to look deep within ourselves, and we begin to realize what we're lacking in some of the areas of our character, in our walk with the Lord, in our maturity, in our relational world. So what is it that you're lacking right now? Well, the things and the people that try your patience are what will bring that to you. Whatever you're lacking, it is the things and the people that try your patience that will bring those things to you. A.B. Simpson said, don't you realize that someday you won't have anything to try you or anyone to annoy you again? There will be no opportunity in heaven to learn or to show the spirit of patience. If you are to practice patience, it must be now. Listen, if we're to get this right, it's got to be now. Well, listen, God's concern for you is your character, not your comfort. God is concerned about developing your character. He's not as concerned about your comfort. It's your holiness, not your happiness, that's high on his priority list. And that completeness of character, that production of holiness in your inner life is best produced by the things that call for patience, by the people that call for your patience. And that's why God allows those things and people to be in our lives. And yet, even still, while patience unleashes holiness in our character, which is, again, God's highest priority for us, while our patience does that, it also produces what you desire most, joy. You know, God wants you to be holy. And you do too, but you want to experience joy in your life. Everybody does. Think about this. Patience attracts joy. Patience is like a magnet that pulls joy in. It actually brings near that which seems so far away. And so that's the why of patience. God is a patient God. He asks us to be patient. He asks us to give patience in the same way that he has given patience to us. And patience actually produces his plan, unleashes his plan in our lives. That's the why of patience. So let me bring this to a close and talk very quickly about the third question. How can we develop patience? What's the strategy? How do you cultivate this elusive fruit? Well, step one, ask for it. Very simply, ask for it. You see, God is the source of patience. God is patient. He's the source of it. And while James 1:2-4 said that we're to consider all of our trials, the things that try our patience is joy because it's producing all of these things in us. Then in verse 5, he says, but listen, if you lack anything, ask God for it because he gives it generously. He doesn't find fault. He gives you what you ask for in terms of your character development. He gives it to you willingly. So I would just say, if you're lacking patience right now, then simply, persistently, ask bigly for the fruit of patience. God will hear you and he will help you. So that's step one. Step two, practice it. You got to practice it. And the best way to do that is to practice remembering when your patience is tested. Just remember, stop and remember how long-suffering God has been with you. Practice remembering that. Just stop. Practice remembering how patient, how kind, how merciful God has been with you when you didn't deserve it. I'm going to give you a couple of assignments here under this step two, practice. And the first one is this. I'm going to challenge you to memorize Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. You know, I think that every Christian ought to have a scripture memory program that they're in. You know, we do that with our kids in our kids' programs. We teach them how to memorize scripture. They're very good at it. But as adults, we quit doing that. And I think we should. I think it would be a very powerful thing in our lives. So here's the memory verse. Again, it says, be tolerant and forgive one another whenever any of you has a complaint against someone else. You must forgive one another just as the Lord has forgiven you. So memorize that this week. And then Meditate on this verse. Meditate out of the Message Bible. I'm going to provide this for you. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. It says, shout your praise even when you're hemmed in with troubles, because you know how troubles can develop patience in you and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue. Listen, God has a wonderful plan for your life. He really does. But difficult people and challenging circumstances are necessary to that plan. And your practice of patience is what's going to get you to the final product of that tempered steel of virtue. So practice patience. And then step three, wait for it. Wait on God. Learn to wait on God. In the Living Bible, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 says this, these things won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when God's purpose will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. Wow. What God has promised, what God is going to do, will not be delayed one single day, or one single hour, not even one single minute. Henry Nouwen was an amazing Christian writer. I loved his writings, was so inspired by it. Before his death, he wrote his final book. And in this book, he told the story of some friends of his who were trapeze artists in the circus. They were called the Flying Rudellas. The Flying Rudellas. They were talking to him about their craft, and they told him of the very special relationship between what they called the flyer and the catcher, you know, the person who lets go of the rope and flies through the air and is caught by the catcher. And they talked about that relationship between those two, and that's an especially important relationship to the flyer. And they said that when the flyer is swinging high above the crowd, there comes the moment when they have to let go. They have to let go of the trapeze, and they fly through the air. But as they're flying through the air, their assignment is to remain as still as possible and wait. Flying through the air, to be still and to wait. To wait for the catcher's strong and sure hands. And they said this. They said the flyer must never try to catch the catcher. The flyer must never try to catch the catcher. The flyer has to wait in total trust. The catcher will catch the flyer, but the flyer must wait. Now, listen to this. What we wait for is never as important as who we wait for. What we are waiting for is not as important as who we are waiting for. And he, the Lord, will be worth the wait. Pastor Rick mentioned this verse in his prayer time. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 31, 30 through 31 says this. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. they that wait upon the Lord will take on his strength. You know, this past week, Linda asked me to move some furniture from an upstairs room, kind of a family room that we have upstairs, to move a couple of pieces of furniture downstairs and out into the garage. She wanted to get rid of it. One of those pieces was a very, very small, a single wide hide-a-bed that originally was in my downstairs office, and it just was not a very good, as a couch and a bed, and was not very good at either one of those. So we moved it upstairs, and now she decided it's the time to get rid of it. But she said, you need to get our son-in-law, Stephen. Danielle and Stephen were down this week, and she said, you need to get Stephen to help you to move it down. Well, I hate moving. I really do. I hate to have to move anything. It's just something that I cannot stand. In fact, I think hell is going to be one continuous move. I hate it that badly. And if I hate it that badly, I just assume that everybody else will hate it as well. No one is going to want to help me move, and I don't want to inflict that upon them. And so Stephen was out. I was home alone, and I decided I can move that couch by myself. And so I went upstairs, and I positioned it, and I got it through the doorway and into the hallway, and I actually got it down the stairs without making a mess of the walls or the railing, and I didn't hurt myself, and I got it down to the ground level, to the entryway of our house, and I opened the door, and I was muscling it through the doorway when the hide-a-bed sprang open, and it got stuck. And then I was trying to muscle it out. I should have just waited, but I was trying to muscle it out before anyone got home and saw what a stupid thing that I had done. And in my effort to unlodge it, it came back in the house and it put a really deep scratch on the floor. Now, I've not told Linda this, so I'm confessing it now in front of all of you so that she won't kill me. I should have just waited for Stephen. If I would have done that, I did wait for his help on the second piece, but if I would have just waited, I would have taken on his strength in addition to my own. See, when we surrender the things and the people that are trying our patience, when we surrender them to the Lord, we gain, think about this, we gain what only God can give, according to that verse. We gain the ability to see, like the eagle that is soaring high above the earth, we gain the ability to see as far as God wants us to see. We gain the ability to run as far, to run as far as God's strength will take us. We gain the ability to endure in this walk with Christ. We gain the ability to endure as long as God's power will enable us to walk. We take on the strength of the Lord when we surrender in patience to him and wait. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. We're going to wait upon the Lord right now. We're going to have a time of prayer, and I'm going to ask you that if you're like me, you need more patience from God, that we're going to boldly ask for it. I'm going to ask you if you would close your eyes and turn your palms upward in a position of receiving from the Lord. I know some of you are thinking kind of that old adage, if you ask for patience, then you're going to get things that try your patience. Can I just tell you this? You're going to get those things anyway. So why not ask for the strength of the Lord and the grace that he wants to give you to develop the fruit of patience. So let's just ask for it right now. So God, we do. We just stop. We lift our hands to you and we admit that we're an impatient people and we need your grace. And so God, we just boldly ask for your patience right now. God, you're the source of it. And you said if we lacked it, we can ask you. So we do that right now. And I pray that you would generously give it to us. And God, for those circumstances and those people in our lives that are trying our patience, God, we just stop for a moment and we practice remembering. And we remember how patient and how long-suffering you have been with us. So how could we not forgive others as you have forgiven us? And especially as we know that your patience is what will forge the tempered steel of virtue in our lives, God, we want to practice patience. And Lord, we want to learn to wait upon you. Your promise is that we will rise up on wings as eagles. We'll run and not grow weary. We'll walk and not faint. You'll renew our strength. And so in this moment, we just wait upon you. We put our trust in you. God, we trust that you hear this prayer. We trust that you answer prayers. We trust that you're true to your word, that you've already, before we asked, you already heard. You already knew what we were going to ask for. And while we were asking, you're sending the answer. We trust you with that. And Lord, we just say thank you. Thank you that you've heard us. Thank you that you're helping us to be a patient people. And God, we thank you that even in this time when our patience is being tried, because we're leaning into you, we're waiting upon you, we're trusting in you, that we will be far more patient people on the other side of this. So we just say thank you, thank you. So we lift this prayer with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen and amen. And God bless you as you go into your week and as God develops the fruit of patience in your life.
Thanks again for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you would like to hear more teachings or find out more information about our church, please visit pcctoday.com.